So I want to conclude tonight message on the Christian's music, sound Christian music versus contemporary Christian music. And I want to conclude by saying, first of all, that we need to draw the line somewhere in our music. And I believe we can answer the question of where to draw the line in our music in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, we can't answer in every jot and tittle, in every detail about music. And there's a subjective element to music. But here is a good principle to tell us where we need to draw a line in Philippians 1, verse 10. Here the Bible says that we should approve things that are excellent. And the Word of God tells us that when we're choosing things in our Christian life, we ought to choose the best thing. Excellent. Not just kind of something that'll get us along, but excellent things. And I believe the place we should draw the line in our Christian music is in the excellent place. Draw the line in a very safe and a good place, an unquestionable place. In a church, you can do that. We can just keep ourselves and satisfy ourselves in the church with music that is unquestionably right, instead of always trying to go over the line a little bit and not quite sure. Well, unquestionably right. Music that does not have any of the world's sound in it. I don't believe we ought to come to church and be reminded of the world. It's hard enough day by day to have to live in this world. And there's some music that you just can't get away from unless you move out in the middle of a desert somewhere. And you go to a restaurant or you go to a mall or whatever. It doesn't matter. The world has its music. And I don't believe we ought to come to church and be reminded in any way of the world's music. We don't have to be. There's so much good music. Music that does not have any kind of charismatic association. There's so much good, solid Christian music that was not written by the charismatics or for the charismatics. We need to use that music and not go out there and say, well, yeah, they're kind of strange and they've got some funny doctrines and they go to funny places, but I like that one song there. I think I'll use that. That's dangerous, because you're reaching over there and it's dangerous because you're always being tempted to go a little farther and to get involved with something else on that side. Just draw the line and you won't have any problems. There's so much good Christian music. At our website, we have a whole list of recommended resources in music, and there's just literally hundreds of good albums, well professionally produced and yet godly spiritual music that you can fill your life with, fill your home with. And so we need to draw the line with our music at the safest, most excellent place, and then we won't have any problem. Number two, in conclusion, we need to beware of incrementalism and desensitization, which is what? Little by littleism. That's how the devil works in our life. Just a little. We don't make great leaps usually. Backsliding is called sliding. And beware of incrementalism. I got an email recently from a man that reads my material, and he said, I see this decline in standards of music in my local church as contemporary-ish music gains more and more acceptance, and the pastors and deacons refrain from placing a limit on lyrics and arrangement styles, electronic substitution for live accompaniment, offensive performing style, and admiration for CCM performers. He said, in the last 15 years in my church, these musical trends, at first rare, have grown in frequency and acceptance. That's incrementalism. Just comes in a little bit at a time. Be careful about that. And I believe tonight we can see four major ways that contemporary styles of music are coming into fundamental Baptist and strong fundamental Bible-believing type churches. And the first way is through Southern Gospel. And I'm giving these messages tonight in the heart of the South. And just recently I was up in North Carolina and in South Carolina. And I'm from Florida. I'm a Florida boy. I'm from the South. And I know the love for Southern Gospel, but it's not only the South anymore that loves Southern Gospel. And the problem with Southern Gospel anymore is that a large percentage of it has gone contemporary and has gone toward the world just like contemporary Christian. Back in 1999, attended the National Quartet Convention with press credentials. Here was my press badge. Got the Gaithers on it. And there I was with my press badge. Means I could go anywhere and talk to people, interview people, and whatnot. Here's the magazine for the meeting that year. National Quartet Convention. I got a letter from the director of the National Quartet Convention. He's a Pensacola Christian College graduate. He said, Brother Cloud, he said, if you'd just come, you'd change your opinion. You'd have a better opinion about us, about our music. Well, I took his challenge. He's the one that gave me the pass and all. And I did. I changed my opinion. I had a worse opinion when I left than when I went. And that's a fact. Because what I saw there was a rock concert. I think there were 15,000 people there that night. 15,000. Gaithers, one of the groups that performed. And that's exactly what they did. Now, that's my opinion. I'm welcome to my opinion. They put on a rock concert. That's exactly what they did. I know what a rock concert is. The lasers and the lights and even some smoke and the rock music. The huge banks of speakers is a rock concert. I don't think it's a particularly good rock concert, but it was a rock concert. And the thing that I thought is I looked around at all of the people that were there, and they were mostly middle-aged or older. And they were mostly conservative types. It was not the Christian rock crowd. Most were dressed conservatively. Most of the women had on dresses. Or a lot of them did. And yet, they were sitting there enjoying a rock and roll concert. And I thought, 15 years ago, these same people would not have liked that. These same people would say, that's wrong. And yet, there they are. How did they get from there to here? They got there a little bit at a time. And they got there by allowing worldly, ecumenical musicians to lead them closer to the world. Be careful. Southern Gospel. There's another way that contemporary styles are coming in, and that is through Christian radio. Christian radio, most places in this country, you can pick up some type of Christian radio, but for the most part, the music that you'll find on Christian radio today is not godly music. It is not good Bible-based music. It is contemporary music. And even stations that claim to be owned by fundamentalists and independent Baptists like Pensacola Christian College has a network, satellite network of some more than 50 radio stations across this country. In most of the large urban areas, you can pick up Pensacola Christian radio, and yet there they are, with contemporary-ish styles that are definitely right at the line and a little over the line on a supposedly fundamental Baptist station. In fact, I've heard twice now of students at Pensacola Christian College recording something off of their own school's radio station and getting in trouble for that, for having that in their dorm because they got a different standard in the school than what they have on the radio station. And that doesn't puzzle me. I mean, we're people. We aren't very consistent a lot of times, but we've got to be careful. And that's one of the ways that contemporary styles are coming in. So Christian radio. You don't have to listen to Christian radio. If that Christian radio is not wholesome and good, and those teachers that are on there are not strong Bible believing people, you'd be better not to listen to Christian radio. There's many other things we can do. We can pray. We can listen to a good tape. You can sing to yourself. There's so many things, but be careful about Christian radio today. There's a third way that it's coming in, and that's through children's music. Again, I went to Mardell the other day, and they have a huge section of children's music. Better be careful about this. Here's one, Heaven's Sake Kids. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit songs. And they've got a picture there of the kids there just jiving away. And, well, they should to that music because it's jivey music. 15 fun kids songs. And it's all jazzed up music. Here, we will worship. And again, there are little kids there. And it's all jazzed up music. Kids' tunes, Bible songs. But it's very jazzed up music. Well, it's not just the ecumenical type music distributors. Here's the Gaithers. They've got a song especially for children. Now, here's one of the little tunes off of it. Now, if your kids grow up with that, what are they going to listen to when they're adults? But here's Patch the Pirate. Now, Patch the Pirate has a lot of godly music. I believe that Ron Hamilton has written some of the most wonderful music that's been written in the last 20 years, 30 years. And him and Frank Garlock, his father-in-law. And yet, there is, on Patch the Pirate tapes, a lot of music that is borrowed from the world that shouldn't be there. And I believe it's contrary to their own principles of music. Frank Garlock has a tremendous series, a seminar on music and the principles of music. And there's some music on here that's contrary to his own principles. There is. And so one of the ways that this music is, contemporary music is coming in like a flood is children's music. Yeah, they're just children. But what they develop, that taste they develop as children is it's certainly what they're going to love and crave after when they're adults, if not more. And there's another way it's coming in, and that is through special music and background tapes. Special music and background tapes. Pastor Sims testified to me how he polled a group of pastors on the subject of how does the devil's music come into Bible-believing churches. And many of them wrote back and said that it mostly comes in through special music and background tapes. I did a little research into the background tapes. Here at Mardell Christian Bookstore in Oklahoma City, they represent Soundtracks, which is Christian World Incorporated. It's the largest distributor, as far as I know, of background tapes in America. One of the big ones. Here's just a small part of the section in Mardell's whole wall. In fact, two or three sections of just nothing but background tapes. Here's a catalog. Contemporary, Southern Gospel, Black Gospel, Middle of the Road, Spanish, Wedding, Children's. Got anything you want? Background tape. I called up the producer yesterday, and he talked with me. His name was Don at Soundtracks. I called him on May 31st, 2001. I said, I want to talk to you about the music itself, the musicians. Who makes the music? I said, do you have any spiritual standards for who makes the music, your musicians? He said, no, we do not have any spiritual standards for the musicians. They don't even have to go to any church. They don't have to be Christians. Some come out of Nashville, he said. We just use good musicians. He said they use the same musicians for all of the different categories. So if you get contemporary, you got the same musicians. Chances are they're not even saved people. Southern Gospel, chances are not even saved people. Do you allow lost people to come up and play in your church? Do you allow charismatic to come up and play his guitar in your church? Some do, but not if they have any sense, they don't. No, but we'll take that background tape that those lost people and those charismatics and who knows what have produced and just play it. That creates an atmosphere. That music creates an atmosphere in that church. You know it does. As soon as that music comes on, it creates some kind of atmosphere. Jimi Hendrix knew that. But what atmosphere? Is it worldly or is it godly? You better be careful about music. We need to be very careful. We need to be a lot more careful than we're being. Music is not just music. There's a lot more that comes with music. And so we need to be careful about incrementalism and gradualism. And number three, in conclusion tonight, we need to be careful about the slippery slope of refusing to hold high standards. High standards. Churches are giving up standards because people in America don't want standards today and they don't want anybody, they don't want any preacher to tell them how to live. They don't want any preacher to tell them how they can dress or how they can raise their kids or what their kids can do. They don't want any preacher telling them what to do, and most preachers don't. They simply don't. They said, okay, I'll just teach the Bible. You apply it to yourself. It's like the pastor friend who was invited to candidate at a church recently in Texas. And they said, hey, we'd like you to candidate, but we want you to know that we believe a preacher teaches the Bible and doesn't talk about sin. That was a Fundamental Baptist church. But we need to be careful tonight about the slippery slope of failing to hold high moral standards. Gordon Sears, who's an old musician, is in bad health. He's still alive tonight in Michigan. He said this, when the standard of music in a church is lowered, then the standard of dress is also lowered. That's true. When the standard of dress is lowered, the standard of conduct is lowered. That's true. When the standard of conduct is lowered, the sense of value in God's truth is lowered. And when the standard of God's truth is lowered, then you have spiritual anarchy. And it just starts slowly. Giving up a few things. Beware of the slippery slope of failing to hold high moral standards. Number four, in conclusion tonight, beware of building bridges to the world. We don't need to be building bridges to the world with our music. The young person's testimony, before the Lord saved my soul, I slipped around behind my parents' back and I listened to contemporary music. This music softened me to the music I would later come to listen to. And parents, if your music sounds like the world, you can't tell your children not to listen to the world's music, not consistently. And number five, in conclusion tonight, private listening and holy living is the key to the battle of music in a church. One of the chief reasons why music standards are weakening in churches is because of the worldly music that people listen to in their everyday lives. There's very little preaching against the world's music in churches today, my friends. When's the last time you heard a sermon against rock and roll? When's the last time you heard a sermon against old sorry country western music? And it's sorry. When's the last time you heard a sermon? There aren't many sermons because people are listening to that stuff. People, deacons in churches and Sunday school teachers in churches listening to worldly music in their everyday life when they ride down the road in the car. And that's the battleground. If people in the church listen to the world's music in their daily lives, it's not going to be long before worldly music comes into the church. And the battleground is what we do and how we live every day. And private listening and holy living is the key. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God. Lord, it's a light upon a dark world, and we just pray You'd help us to be wise enough to obey it and to heed its warnings. And Lord, to be used of God in this world.